Good morning and God bless everybody. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 13. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and I just thank you that there's something here for everybody. Everyone gets blessed. Everyone feels uplifted. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And today I want to talk about covered, C-O-V-E-R-E-D, covered, exclamation point. And don't you love it when somebody says, I got you covered, and they mean it? I think that's awesome. No matter what it pertains to, when somebody's got your back, they've got you covered. It's a compliment. It's a relief. And frankly, it makes you feel special. And you know what? That's a good thing, to feel special, to feel cared about, to feel like you matter. And our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, they do the best covering. I've got you covered in the universe. And their love knows no bounds. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to kind of be talking about the Good Shepherd here today. In Hebrews 13, 20, now the God of peace. Man, whenever I don't have peace, my mind is all bumping around like a pinball machine. I know I am not in that place where Jesus wants me to be at that time as his sheep. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that God wants to make you perfect or complete or whole in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And do you know what is well-pleasing in God's sight? To bless you, to love you, to comfort you. It is his good pleasure to give you his kingdom blessings. Just push pause for a moment. What need do you have on this planet that's not already covered from heaven's treasure? Nothing. Not sickness, not mental stuff, not finances, not even family problems. It's amazing what God can do to restore challenges between family members if people just turn it over to him and walk in love. Like that old hymn, to write the love of God above, if the oceans were all ink, it would make them dry. There's not enough water on earth to say how great, to write how big God's love is. There are no words in our vocabulary to express it. We do our best through teachings and conversations. And before we delve into where I want to go, I want to preface it with Psalm 91, because that is really a very popular psalm right now in our whole culture. People are getting the memo in Psalm 91 where the Lord himself promises. He promises. Remember, these aren't possibilities. These are promises. These are gold-edged securities, bonds that can't be broken. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and what is that secret place? It's when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, folks, I live in Florida. We cast a lot of shadows in the noonday sun, and it's hot here. But for somebody to be in my shadow, you know what? They've got to be close to me, very close, actually. And the great news is that place is not secret to us because we're reading it. And it's that place where we're really under the shelter of his wing. And that whole psalm is about God protecting us from chaos and from evil and from sickness or anything that's happening in the world. You know, 1,000 can fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left, but it's not going to come near you, your dwelling, your body, your home. These are not, again, suggestions. These are promises you can take to the bank. Sign the check, cash it. And look at verse 4 in Psalm 91, if you happen to have turned there. In Psalm 91, verse 4, this is the one I really wanted to get to. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your offense and your defense, your shield and your buckler. So as we jump into this topic today, covered. What does covered mean? I'm going to use a silly analogy and I hope it works. But I have learned in the last few years since I moved down here to Florida that when I go outside, I mean, the sun is a lot stronger than it was in North Georgia in the mountains. It's a lot stronger. I have to cover my face in particular with some zinc. I feel like the old beach movies in Troy Donahue. All I need is a surfboard and the muscle ability to surf again. Well, not that I've ever surfed, but you know, boogie board, you even get up. I don't know if I could get up on one and turn around, but I digress. Okay, so I have to cover my face with zinc, bottom half, with some flesh-colored zinc. And it's a preemptive move, a preemptive. You do it so you're not dealing with the consequence of not doing it. And it's to keep my face in particular from getting sunburned and protect my skin. And when I do it properly, I don't even notice it, the sun. But my face really thanks me for it 2 or 3 hours later when if I'm out in the sun too long in the Florida sun, my lower face will just throb and get sunburned in like 5 or 10 minutes, to be honest with you. It's crazy. Now, this is a very crude example to being covered with zinc, but here's the point. God covers our body, soul, and spirit to keep us from harm and to keep the blessings flowing, to keep our foot off the hose, to keep the blessings flowing. And why does he do that? Because you're good enough? Because you've earned his love? No, because he loves you to the moon and back. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking, diligently looking for those who he can bless because we put our trust in him. Two-way street. God is ready to bless 24/7. We're the ones that have to put our trust in him. Sometimes I think of God as a strong light in the middle of a dark room. And when I walk into that room, if I'm standing under the beam, that's where the trust is happening. That's where my God confidence is flowing freely, where I believe what he said and I'm listening to it. I'm taking it in my soul. And I believe it's already happened even before I see the fruit, the results. But when I step out of that light in the middle of the room and back into the darkness, these promises are still out there ready for the picking, ready for the taking. But I have to be in fellowship. I have to be trusting God, as it says in 1 John chapter 1. That's all about fellowship. We're always going to be a child of God, but the way we interact with him, the way we bless him and he blesses us, is being not just a son of God, a daughter of God, but to be in fellowship. That's the renewed mind, to be in fellowship, having that God confidence tuned to the key of love and turning it up. Not just 2 and 10, but 2 and 11. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord might be my shepherd. On a good day, the Lord will shepherd. No. Oh, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. That doesn't change. It's like the old saying about the husband and wife where driving down the road when they still had bench seats in the front of the car. And she's over there hugging the door on the right side of the front seat. And she looks over at him and says, we used to drive all the time with your arms around me and my head on your shoulder. And the husband looks over to her and says, I haven't moved. All she had to do was come back. And he'd put his arm around her and she could put her head on his shoulder. So the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want when we're in the beam. We're on the beam. We're in that fellowship place. And that is just such a huge promise. I mean, thou shall not want. What does that not cover? It covers everything. Psychologically, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God created every human being, every star in space. He knows what we need more than we know what we need. He's the creator. We're the product. But that's it all boils down to God's promises are constant, never changing, and everlasting. We are the ones that have to step into that circle of trust and believe what God says. That is our choice. That's free will. But what a mega promise. I mean, what a big kaboom right out of the chute. And we're going to see in this Psalm 23 that this is one of the most loving, most personalized psalms in the Bible, because one of the things, shepherds, we think of them as maybe a dirty job or dealing with sheep or sweating, you know, in Australia, shearing the sheep or whatever. Bottom line is, of all the professions in the Middle East, shepherd was one of the most revered, because without the shepherds, they would starve. They wouldn't have a lot of things to stay warm. I mean, they were the backbone of society. And these noble shepherds would know every sheep by name, what their allergies were, what they liked to eat, you know, which ones could drink from a running brook and which ones needed the water put in a cup because of the way their mouth was shaped, which one tended to get infected with the bugs over others that didn't, which one would follow his voice and the ones that he had to spend extra time on keeping in the flock. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, sometimes I'm just so wound around the axle. I love that he does it. He does this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus is the most loving shepherd in the universe, who provides rest to all of us who reach out and follow him. Green pastures, still waters, that's a place of rest. And then he restores our weary soul when we turn our attention to him. And he leads us into righteous living. I mean, walking in the blessings is righteous living, because when you're doing that, you're trusting God. And he does that not only for your sake, but as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, for his own glory. Because we're part of God's masterpiece, his painting, that every time he blesses a child in the body of Christ, all of the spiritual kingdom sees this, both the angels and the demons. And when we walk in the power of God and we accept his promises and walk in power and glory, I will tell you, the demons look at us and they tremble. Because we're finding out who we are. We're walking in our true inheritance. And that scares the peanuts out of them, man. Verse 4. Yep, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that is what this life is. Two things are 100% promised in this earth. Death and taxes. Death and taxes. Well, we all know how routine taxes are, but we also know that we're going to live 80, 90, 110 years, but it's going to come knocking at our door someday if the Lord tarries. If not, we're going to be changed and we'll be gathered together with him. But we're now walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you know what we do this whole time on earth once we know Jesus? We don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because you, Jesus, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort, comfort, comfort. They don't beat us up. They don't judge us. They comfort us. Every shepherd had two long poles, sticks, that they had carved. The rod was just a straight stick that they used to ward off the wolves or fight the enemies. Sorry, that was a staff. The rod was used to guide the sheep. The staff was used to keep the enemy away. Okay, so one was to guide the sheep. One was to keep the enemy at bay. And, you know, I think of those kung fu movies, woo, 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 where they're using the long poles and they're fighting each other. It's kind of like the shepherd. I guess sometimes he would do a Babe Ruth and hold one in and knock that wolf into third base. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That means more than enough, more than enough. And you prepare that table again, Ephesians 2, in the presence of all my enemies, both spiritual and human. Even the people who don't like you in this world can see how you're blessed by God. It's very obvious to them, it says here in Psalm 23. And that's talking about preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's all about your personal victory and honor that you receive from God in this lifetime in real time. Nobody sets a lavish table like Jehovah. And he does that right in the face of our enemies. I'm talking gold goblets, gold plates. I mean, I'm talking in spiritual metaphor here, but it's the bomb. It's the best of the best. All the best foods, all the best to drink. And not only does he do all this right in the presence of a dark and perverse nation that has a lot of darkness in it. We're here. We're his billboard. And thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Two things in there. He's going to anoint our head with oil and our cup of blessings. When we're in this space in the shadow of the Almighty, covered by the Good Shepherd Jesus, our cup runs over. We have more than enough. We have plenty to share with other people. I know for a long time people talked about sheep being dumb. They're not necessarily dumb, but you know what they are? They're quite defenseless. They don't have horns. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. And their main defense is flocking and sticking to the shepherd. Because they need constant care. And I'll tell you, this sounds a lot like you and I today. You know, Lord, I need you every hour. The bottom line is, without the shepherd, the sheep are actually very easy prey to prey upon. And that's why the Bible emphasizes the shepherd's rod and staff that give both protection and keeps them in the flock, gives them guidance. But the other day I was working some stuff online and I saw this Orientalism explained, this Eastern culture explained in verse 5 that just really knocked my socks off. And it was all about our spiritual covering and it really blessed my soul and I want to share part of it with you today. The author was anonymous, but here goes. Most people read Psalm 23 and picture it as a quiet religious moment. But the shepherd really reads like a field manual. The Lord is my shepherd is not a figure of speech, but it is a bedrock reality. When David wrote, "You anoint my head with oil," he was not being poetic. He was being practical. In the ancient world, sheep were constantly attacked by tiny enemies. Flies that laid eggs in their nose, parasites that crawled into their ears, infections that started small and ended up with madness, injury, or death. A sheep under attack would often panic and rub its head against the rocks, and it would often injure itself trying to escape what it couldn't see. It would just like bash its head against the rocks. So the shepherd would do something intimate and intentional. He would take oil. He would place his hands on the sheep's head, and he would cover and rub it into the vulnerable places, the nose, the ears, the eyes. When I read that, all I could think of was the five senses. That's where all that junk enters our head, is through our five senses. You know, things we think about that cause us to have fear or worry. Every opening where harm could enter, that oil did not make the sheep stronger. It made the sheep covered, protected. When the oil was present, the fly stayed away. You know, Satan is actually called the Lord of the Flies. I won't tell you why, but you can figure it out. When the oil was present, the fly stayed away and the irritation stopped. And sometimes that's what I'd say to myself. I would see myself in a place of unbelief and just think, I'm in a place of irritation beyond measure with myself. I got to get back on the good foot. But when the shepherd would do this, the restlessness in the sheep would be calmed, and peace, peace, wonderful peace would return. Our flies and bugs are fear, worry, and doubt, or any self-defeating thoughts that would sabotage the promises of God in our own lives. I want to ask you, how many times have you glommed on to a problem or thought about something that hasn't even happened yet and gotten yourself all wrapped around the axle and, quote, bashed your head against the rocks, just banging your head against the wall because you can't turn it over to God and trust Him that instead of evil foreboding, you have joyful anticipation? I just heard a thing about a 17-year-old teenager who took her 12-year-old brother to a school event at his school. And before they walked in the gym, he told her, I can't go in. I just feel like there are too many people in there. I just feel too nervous. And she comforted him and told him she was right by his side. He would be fine. And sure enough, they walked in the gymnasium and all of his friends stood up and started saying, hey, so-and-so, great to see you, and patting him on the back. But we've all been in that place of, oh my gosh, how am I going to handle this? And had our nerves wrapped around the axle. And just like this sweet teenage girl did, she was his shepherd in that moment. She put her hand on his shoulder, she spoke words of comfort, and he knew he had a wingman, that he was covered. I go back to my opening statement, that makes you feel special, it makes you feel powerful in a way, it makes you feel good that you're noticed and you're cared about. And David was not saying, what he was not saying is, God's going to make me so impressive, he's going to make me stronger than Samson. No, he was saying, God's going to keep you safe. In spite of your shortcomings, he's big enough to do that. This wasn't about how you appear in public. This psalm is all about covering, being a covering. This anointing with oil wasn't about putting you in the spotlight. It was about being your shield, your invisible shield, almost look like a dome, you know, over your mind and heart to keep you in God's loving presence. God's anointing is not always loud. Sometimes it's just a silent prevention. It's the battle that you never had. It's the attack, the spiritual attack that never landed a punch. It's the breakdown that never happened. It's the chaos that never took control of your mind. Some of the greatest evidence of God's presence is in your life is not what you survived, but the stuff that never touched you. You have to think on that for a minute. I'm sure you've all got something there where you know something could have happened and didn't. The shepherd anointed the sheep's head because that's where our direction in life emanates from. That's where direction lives. The head is where our decisions come from, our head and heart. And that's where fears begin or get squelched, by trusting God. But in Psalm 23, Jesus looks at every problem, every kind of worry, every kind of doubt, every kind of fear that a man or woman is ever going to be confronted with. And Jesus said way back then, I got it. I got it covered. Got it covered. I got it covered. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. And to need that covering doesn't mean you're crazy. To believe in it doesn't mean you're crazy. To need it doesn't make you weak. To desire it is not because you're failing. It's because God loves you. He wants to be your covering. He wants to be your huckleberry, that person that's going to stand beside you through thick and thin. And ladies and gentlemen, the shepherd, that represents that healing oil, which is really being conscious of the Holy Spirit that lives around you and within you. You're already anointed. You just have to recognize the anointing. Because when the shepherd fills you up and anoints you, the enemy doesn't need to be defeated. He just needs to stay away. Tell him to put an egg in his shoe and beat it. So like the psalm says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over more than enough for you and to share your peace, your calm, your wisdom, your love, with someone else in Jesus' name. And he does this because he knows that life is not easy. But he wants you to know that in this crazy, jumbled world, you are covered. You are covered inside and out with his anointing spirit. And reading what this individual wrote gave me so much deeper insight into these Eastern customs that, I don't know, light bulbs just started going ping, ping, ping in my head, that the Lord goes before us and behind us, as it says in Isaiah. He's going to go before us and behind us. He's going to be our shield and buckler, our offense and our defense. He's our peace and our power. He is our peace and our power. He is our wisdom and our true direction where we need to go. He does make our feet like hinds feet, and he sets us upon the places of victory in our life. The hind is that mother deer that has to take her young and scale the slippery slopes of a very steep mountainside with shale, S-H-A-L-E, that just, it's this kind of stone that just rips apart when you put pressure on it, that will slide right out from under the hind's feet and cause them to fall a great distance and hurt themselves, even die. But because the mother deer is sure-footed, she knows how to navigate the trail, and the baby deer learns to put his hoof, his foot, exactly where the mother deer stepped for his safety, his provision, and to climb the mountain. Jesus is the mother deer. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the babies. We're to step in his footsteps, follow him where he leads, believe what he tells us about life, seeing it from his vantage point. And friends, that's how we're designed. We are designed to live. We're not to be codependent on any human, but we are supposed to be very dependent on Jesus and God the Father, because they are our provision. They are our everything. The Father and the Son. It talks about that in the beginning of every church epistle. Grace and peace be to you from the God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The dynamic duo. They're still there to do all this stuff in us and for us. And it is in our weakness that his strength is perfected. And I hope, like me, that gives you a new depth of understanding to Psalm 91. What it means to live under the shelter of his wing. Psalm 23, what it means when he anoints our head with oil. We're already anointed. We just got to recognize it. And Psalm 36, verse 7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." Please notice Psalm 36. Trusting God is your choice. You're going to have to make that dozens of times every day. It's an attitude adjustment. You just have to do it over and over and over and continue bringing your thoughts back to God and trusting in him. And God's provision is always there. It's always ripe for the taking. We're the ones that have to make the choice, I'm going to stand under the shelter of his wing. That is totally up to each and every one of us. I meditate every single morning for somewhere between 30 minutes to 60 minutes. Meditate means I'm just relaxing in God's presence. I'm asking him, what do you have to say to me? Sometimes afterwards I'll journal. I definitely do my prayer for other individuals during that time. I pray both with my understanding and in my spirit for the people that I care about that are close to me, and for many, many other people that are just folks that call me and need help. And these prayers make a difference. They truly make a difference. And spending that time is totally up with you, but I like to get up first thing in the morning and get myself in that place of peace, of quiet seas. And I have three or four total go-to prayers. When I am rather frazzled, I can just, you know, it's a quick read. I can pick it up, take it out, put it on in my mind and get some reaction right away to help myself calm down. I mean, my number one prayer is this: help me, Jesus. Three words: help me, Jesus. Great prayer. I love it. Coming from a heart of faith. And of course, I use the Our Father frequently, not as a rote prayer. I don't just sit there and say the words. I meditate on what each, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, that means God is everywhere present. If you put your hand out, that's heaven. And he also lives inside of us. He said he's made us his house, his temple, his home. And I think about the presence of God and how I can be part of bringing his will from heaven into earth, starting with myself, and then having that ripple effect to love and bless other people. But I have to say, one of my top five prayers would definitely be the first five verses in Psalm 103. And we're coming down to closing this, and I want to leave this as one of our last thoughts together with this teaching. Bless the Lord. Do you know how much it melts God's heart when you bless him, when you praise him, when you're thankful, when you have gratitude? A lot. It melts his heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. At 5:30 or 6, I may have just been blessed with waking up to a sound mind and having air to breathe. But it's a great time to remember the benefits he gave me yesterday and last week and maybe 50 years ago, just to be thankful. Verse 3, who forgives? Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all, A-L-L, my iniquities? Who heals, A-L-L, all my disease? 4, who redeemed past tense, my life from destruction? Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy? That makes me think so much of that, anoints my head with oil. He wants to surround my thought life with thoughts about his tender mercy and his loving kindness so I can get a good dose of it before I go into my day. Verse 5, and who satisfies my mouth, the older I get, the more I love this, who satisfies my mouth with good things. I get to do things that are wholesome and fun so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Woo! What a way to go. Fly like that eagle. And I usually cap it off with my own phrase from another psalm that says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works and his goodness to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Just to praise him for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men, not in that space begging for something or asking for anything in particular at that moment, but just praising God and getting in connection with who I really am in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And that's a little taste, a little sip, a little dose of what it means that when God says he's got you covered. He's got you covered. He's got your head, your feet, your back, your front. He's got you coming and going. And we are covered. But remember, it's like going into that dark room with a light right in the middle. The shaft comes straight down. I'm always going to be a child of God, but I choose to trust him, which is stepping into that light, into that shaft of light, his promise. And I make a decision that I literally trust God to have me, to hold me, to inspire me, to direct me, to heal me, to give me wisdom. Because the fact that we are covered is a promise that's already been paid for by Christ. Making the decision to trust it is us signing for the check. We're going to cash the check. And that's our decision. So I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your compassion and your love that you have for every human on this earth. and most especially to your children by seed. And Father, I thank you that we learn to walk in your footsteps more and more each and every day, that we can see you more clearly, that we can hold you in our heart more dearly, and that we just grow in this grace day by day, and we have something to really crow about, to offer other people, that there is a God Almighty that loves you more than you can imagine, and he will bend over backwards to help you, to help your children, to help your family, to help your loved ones. Share the wealth, share the wealth, share the wealth. In the name of Jesus Christ. I can't remember it exactly, but I saw a meme I posted the other day that says, misery loves company, but joy does too, and joy throws better parties. So please remember, it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And when we have that bubbling on the inside, we have living water to offer everybody who has a need in their life. I don't care what it is, if they're open to hear the good news. So I love you guys. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate your life and your friendship. Talk to you later. Bye.